build a more modern enterprise architecture that is thoughtful and deliberate about making sure that it can incorporate new technologies faster, take advantage of it, and enable the capabilities that organizations need to do more digital business.
You're listening to KBCast, the cybersecurity podcast for all executives. Cutting through the jargon and hype to understand the landscape where risk and technology meet. Now, here's your host, Carissa Breen.
Joining me today is Laurie McVitie, who's the distinguished engineer in F5's Office of the CTO. And today, we're discussing your book that was released last year, also co-authored by Geng Lin, who's the EVP and CTO at F5. And Laurie, your book is called Enterprise Architecture for Digital Business. So we will link a copy of the book in our show notes for those listeners out there who would love to grab a copy of it. So Laurie, thank you so much for joining. It's wonderful to have you here.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for inviting me and having this conversation.
So let's start with the book. So you released it last year. Now, we were supposed to do this interview last year, but I was away in the US, actually. I've just come back. So tell our listeners a little bit about your book. What's covered? Maybe what was the reasoning to write the book? I want to hear all of the things.
Sure. So it covers very broadly enterprise architecture, which is usually not a very exciting topic for most people. But when we looked at what digital transformation was doing to organizations and the pace of technology evolution over the past just few years, we saw a need to look at that architecture and understand what changes needed to be made, what needed to be added, and just really guide technology leaders in understanding how the changes in all these technologies are affecting their architecture and through that, their business. So we wanted to give them a guide to say, hey, there are a lot of technologies that didn't exist when you became a business and built this wonderful architecture, and you really need to start thinking about these new capabilities you need to use in order to operate as a more modern digital business.
Yeah, I totally get it. I mean, my listeners would know that I used to work in a bank, and banks are hundreds of years old, looking at whether legacy architecture or legacy system or technical debt. You know, people need to evolve, people need to innovate, and they need to change. But do you think people feel overwhelmed by that? Because, I mean, look, there's always something new coming out, especially in the United States. Like, you've got a big population. You've got a lot of great, smart people out there that are always bringing new things out. How do people handle that? Because as soon as you implement something, the next thing's out. So how do you manage that?
Wow. They don't today for the most part. So, right, it gets bolted on. We'll just stick it on and we'll stick this other thing on here. There's not a lot of integration. There's not a lot of how does this fit into all the other pieces of the architecture? It just kind of gets shoved on, right? And so it doesn't really fit with the overall picture, and they can't take advantage of it in a way that the business needs them to. And that's all in that architecture, because the architecture is set up to be, or it wasn't set up to be, but it was based on technologies and practices and principles that were largely assuming a fixed network, right? Static applications, static networks, static systems. We didn't move things from one place to another. If we did, that was actually a huge, right, undertaking, and it was very scary. So when they built those architectures, they were built with those principles in mind. So when something new comes along, especially if it doesn't fit into that existing model, it just gets stuck on. And there's no real plan or no real way to take advantage of that capability in other ways. So that's part of what this idea is. It's not rip and replace. Right. If you've worked in a bank, you know, if you walked up and said, hey, let's just start over, you'd be out the door. That's not possible. But it is possible to build a more modern enterprise architecture that is thoughtful and deliberate about making sure that it can incorporate new technologies faster, take advantage of it, and enable the capabilities that organizations need to do more digital business.
Okay, so let's go back to the stick it on part. I hear what you're saying, mm-hmm. and yes, you've got people sticking things on left, right, and center, and I get that. So what's the reasoning? Is it because, okay, there's a new technology that's come out, we need to adopt it, and we just stick things on? Is that sort of where that mentality comes from? Because, I mean, look, just say hypothetically you got a company, for 10 years they've been sticking things on. Like, when are you going to get to the stage where you're like, wow, we have way too many things going on here. Now we really have to rein it in. What's the mentality behind it? And I get people are technologists like yourself. You like tech. You always want to be feeling like we're using the latest stuff. And I get that. But then doesn't it become then a burden then over time?
You know, I think the more technology you get, right, the more of a burden it is. If you're a 100-year-old company with technology that was built in the 50s, you're always carrying some kind of baggage along. You can't get rid of it for whatever reason that may be. But I think there's a way to be more thoughtful about how you hang that on or put that in. If you look at problems around, just delivering an application and making sure that it's available, right? We know from survey after survey that, 98% of customers of the market, of the industry, are missing information about, why did this performance degrade? Why did this app crash? Is this an attack or not? They miss these. These are insights they need. So you say, okay, how can we get you those insights? Well, it turns out that to get those kind of insights in today's very connected, distributed world means you need to have data from each one of those systems up and down the stack. Well, how do you get that? Right? Then you keep having to work back going, wow, this is a bigger problem than it sounds like. Every application needs to be instrumented to make sure that you can get that data. Every system, every network device, whatever it is, needs to be able to provide us some information so that we can look at it and get that insight. Great. Where's all that data going? Oh, well, we'll put it in a database. That makes sense. Well, do you know how big that database is going to get? I mean, this data is coming in fast and furious and at volumes that, you're never going to look at in real time. Oh, well, we'll have analytics do it. And on and on and on, right? It cascades. When you look at what do I need to do to solve the most pressing challenges that people are facing in their organizations today, it starts to turn into this huge effort. And that's really what the book is about is, look, we know this is a big challenge. Just to get this one capability called observability, you need to do all of these different things. You need to look at data differently. You need to have a strategy for that data. You need to instrument everything. You need to incorporate automation and analytics and on and on. So our goal was not to say, this is something you need to do. It's more a recognition that there are problems and people are starting to do this. They need guidance on exactly what it is that's changing and how they can actually address it. So they can formulate a better roadmap, if you will, to doing all that modernization.
Okay, so I'll stress this a little bit more. So you mentioned like people need to become more thoughtful. So would you say then, Laura, like people just aren't thoughtful? And is that by default that, or is it just that it's not their intention that, oh, I wasn't thoughtful about, how to approach this?
Yeah, thoughtful is, I guess now that you say it back, I'm like, that's not a very, that sounds kind of terrible, but it's, I guess, more, how about it's not strategic, right? Hey, there's cloud. Let's put an app out there. Well, but we didn't think about all of the integration or the data transfer or the cost in the long run. We did it because we were promised something and we needed that. So we did it, but it wasn't adopted thinking about, well, how does this fit into the architecture? What business capability are we enabling with this?
Gotcha. Okay, this is where it gets interesting. So you're saying, so you replace the word thoughtful with strategic, the thinking behind it. So why are people missing that part though? I mean, technically, if we take a step back, and it's easy for us now because we're on this interview for us to say, oh, you should be thinking about it. But why aren't people doing it when they're in these organizations and they're like, okay, we need to implement you know, X, Y, or Z. Wouldn't that, isn't that a very methodical approach to do that? So why are people not doing it then?
Well, I think, you know, maybe part of it is that we've lost some of the art of enterprise architecture, because there hasn't been significant changes to it in so long, and they were established so long ago that we don't really think about it in the terms that it was meant to be thought of. And when we say enterprise architecture, we mean the guiding principles that enable certain business capabilities. It's not about a network diagram or pictures or, you know, any of that that show, you know, this data moves here. It's about what data do we need, what capabilities, what kind of people, skills, practices, right? It's about, you know, how we architect, right, a model for the business. And we don't necessarily go back to that because it's so familiar to us, I think. And because for years we've, you know, I guess limped along with security, right? Security is not part of enterprise architecture. Yeah. So we did it, right? We've got practices and we got policies and, you know, we do this stuff, right? And it's, you know, I say, well, how's that working out for you? You know, it's not built into the system. It's not considered a capability. It's a thing we do. So it's not part of the business. It's not part of the culture. It's a thing we do.
Got it. Okay. Okay. So I want to now explore with you. You talk about modernizing IT for the digital first world. So what do you mean by this, as in like the digital first world?
Okay. That one is very easy. When I was young, and I'm glad the camera's off so you can't see how old I actually am, my mother would do her Christmas shopping in a catalog. You fill out a form and you ship it out in, like, I don't know, October to make sure it got there. That was revolutionizing at the time, because a lot of people couldn't travel, you know, however far it was to get to these places. Today, I would not do that, right? I would load up Amazon and buy what I wanted. It'd be here tomorrow, right? I don't have to do it early if I forgot. New Year's, you know, Christmas Eve, hey, quick, you know, get this here tomorrow. So the notion of digital first is that my first reaction to, I need something, I want to know something, you know, I'm interested in something, is to go digital, to go to a website, to go to an app, to go to something digital, as opposed to the alternative, which is a catalog, go down to the store. Why would I do that? I, you know, I'm not going to go down and ask you if you have something in stock when I can look online. So it's kind of just our mode of operation. We've gotten used to digital exists and it's so much easier, so I'm going to go there first.
Got it. I totally understand. And I mean, look, as I mentioned before, I was in the US recently. There is so many of those Amazon Prime trucks around. We don't actually have that to the same level in Australia at all. So I totally understand. And then I was down in LA, there was these little Serve robotics. And so I'm cruising down the street and then there's this little robot that looked like a cooler sort of bat. He had eyes, a little Esky, what we call them Eskies here in Australia, but it's a cooler for you guys in the US. And I was like, what is this? And I posted about it on my LinkedIn and everyone's like, oh yeah, like it's a thing. And then someone posted the founder or something in the comments. But that is using the digital first mindset around delivering, I think it's food and medication. I was like, that's so cool, because it was a cute little robot, but also this thing's just cruising down the street and there was lots of them around. And so that then lends itself to the, you know, the digital first mindset. And I think that the younger generation would have no idea like what a catalog even is, probably.
No, you know, Amazon sends us a catalog in like November and it's purely, you know, there's QR codes, right? It's a picture. It's like, here's our digital catalog, but you can just sit on the couch and then scan things instead. Still very digital, but right, there's that, it's a weird mix. So, but you're right. I mean, you know, handsets, right, with cords for phones or turntables. There's a million things that, you know, a lot of us growing up would recognize instantly. And, you know, the younger generation today is just, why would you do that? I have a phone with me 24/7. Remember they told us you won't always have a calculator in your pocket, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that was wrong. 100%. I literally had to explain to a Gen Z what dial-up internet was. And I'm thinking, what? And, you know, I'm a millennial myself. So it's I'm thinking like, what? Like, I don't know. That perplexed me completely. I was really just dumbfounded by that one. But I guess it's how, you know, there is a, you know, what, 10, 15 year gap. So I do understand that, you know, things change and they evolve a lot more. And like you said, why would I go down to the store when I can absolutely look it up online? So then that sort of then leads me into my next point. So would you say that people in the market overuse the phrase digital transformation? Like, is the word just overrated? We've spoken about the digital first world, but the term digital transformation, it's less so heard about now, but for the last 3 to 5 years before, it was used all the time. It was rampant.
So the short answer is yes, it's overused. It's overhyped, and it means different things to different people. And it's used. Remember when cloud came on the scene, right? Everything was suddenly cloud. It was because it was so important and so transformational that everything became cloud something. It didn't matter, right? And the same thing happened with digital transformation, I think. A lot of things were, you know, washed, right? To be, this is about digital transformation, when it wasn't. You know, if it was related to technology, it was suddenly digital transformation. So I agree, it's overused, but yet I can't find a better term for what's happening and what's been going on.
So what's your then definition of digital transformation? I mean, you mentioned before, like, this term means different things to different people, but what's your understanding of it? How would you describe digital transformation?
So we have been describing it, and this is the way I like to describe it, as a business journey. And that business journey actually started in the 1940s when the first person went, wow, we can really improve productivity if we do this thing with a computer. Now, sure, it was limited to very few people who had the funds and the capacity to be able to do that. But that's when it began. And then it picked up in this phase of digital productivity, right? Lasted all the way through the 70s and the 80s, right? We're going to turn everything we can into applications. It was huge. And then at some point, people started worrying about the digital experience, how people interface with those applications because we spent so much time in front of them. Right. It grew and it grew and it grew. And oh, you know, our kids have to deal with it now. Right. We need to make sure these are easy to use and they're accessible to everyone. So we spent a lot of time and a lot of decades focusing on this idea of digital experience. And we are just now, I think, moving into that area where or time when business is focusing on, you know, hey, it's our turn. Right. We're going to focus on digital business next. And that's where you start looking at, our architecture needs to be modernized. We need to incorporate certain capabilities to ensure we can adapt to future changes so that we can take advantage of new technologies very quickly, right? Either for our employees or for the customers that we're trying to. So I see digital transformation as really being about how business is transforming because of technology over time. So it's a journey.
And so when you mean digital business, you mean the things we touched on before, not using the catalog, but going on Amazon and purchasing things online and, you know, not going to collect your takeout, but you're going to use Serve Robotics, for example. Those are the types of things that you mean by that. So then would you say, look, someone may sit back and say, look, Laurie, I get it, but how do I go about doing it? Like, we've been so entrenched in this is the way we've always done it. And now you're saying I need to completely do a 360. How do you have those conversations with people? Because yes, look at even ChatGPT that's come out. People are saying, you know, this is the way it's going to change the game. People need to adapt, and people, you know, but people are constantly trying to keep their head above the water. What do you say to those people that do want to change, do the digital transformation, understand that their business needs to be more digital, but perhaps just feel overwhelmed and don't even know where to start or where to go?
I'd say, yeah, I get it. I mean, it's hard, right? Change is always hard. And knowing where to start is the hardest part. And when you look at something as complex as enterprise architecture, it's a daunting task. It really is. And we see the effect of modernization and prioritization out there in outages and problems that go on, because you can't do it all at once, right? Because if you could just modernize everything at the same time, then you could probably just do it over at the same time. You can't do it that way. You know, I would say, all right, you need to sit down and look at what your capabilities are today in these domains where you need to have capabilities for digital business. Let's talk about observability. Where are you on that? Do you have a data strategy that goes with that? Is everything instrumented? How are you going to, you know, gather it? Where are you going to store it? Start answering those questions. And I think that's key, is answer the questions first, right? Look at the next thing. Well, that's going to feed the automation that my, you know, new platform engineers or SREs are going to use. So what do they need? How do I get the right tooling for that? What am I going to automate? Why am I automating? What am I measuring? What, you know, and there's just 1,000 questions that need to be answered, but you need to answer them before you go, you know, we're just going to modernize that. Well, you can't take a piece of a very complex system and say, gee, I'm going to modernize that without thinking about what it's going to do to everything else it's connected to, and what the requirements of other domains that rely on it may be, right? That's like building a, you know, building a database or building an application without knowing what the data is, right? What are you doing? You don't even know what kind of data you're going to be interacting with. It doesn't matter. I built a beautiful application. Well, that doesn't help anyone, right? It needs to be a system level thinking from the top and just keep going down and answer those questions. Then you can say, right, how do I want to do this? Do I want to prioritize something that's going to be, you know, very foundational and give us more capabilities, understanding that, you know, it's going to take us some time? Or do I want to take this smaller piece that can be done and can be ready, right, in a shorter amount of time, so we see some return on our investment? And that's where the role of the CIO is, to make those kind of strategic decisions about what they modernize, when, and how fast.
So what you're saying, Laurie, is people jump the gun a lot and they don't answer the questions and they just go straight into solution mode.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the easy part, right? Instead of trying to, you know, make sure that it's the right solution, well, it's a solution, right? But is it the best solution? Is this going to fit the business? And we haven't even talked about that, right? The business and the in a digital business, the business folks and the IT folks, right, their strategies become almost inseparable, because everything becomes measured in digital signals, becomes reported on using digital tools, it becomes managed, right? New technologies, all of these become inseparable. So there's got to be also conversation with the business to understand the impact of, if we do this thing, how does that impact the business? Well, if we do this other thing, how does it impact the business? Now, what's our decision, right? And get everyone to buy in.
Yeah, and I guess what you said makes sense. Methodically, logically, it makes sense. But then yet again, people still jump the gun. So I'm still really curious. And I mean, you mentioned it before around, you know, we haven't really had to question enterprise architecture as much because things haven't changed as much historically, or businesses haven't, but now they are. So do you think that same mentality comes into, okay, well, I don't have to, you know, I'm not answering the questions and I'm jumping the gun because historically I haven't had to do that?
Ah, yes. Yes. And there might be reluctance because of that. Oh, I don't want to stop and do this. But the long-term benefits of actually thinking it through and, right, answering those questions first means that you're going to be far more successful, which means you're going to be able to jump the gun on new technologies much faster, right? All of this is leading to, right, an environment where a new technology isn't something that takes 6 months to implement and costs millions, because your architecture is already, it's ready for that. All the pieces it needs, it slides in. You're like, we can just try it. And if it doesn't work, then we can just make it go away. It's not the laborious chore that it once was. So ultimately, the benefit, even at, down at the implementer level, is that they will get to work differently, work better, and also get to incorporate new technologies and new ideas much faster and much more often. And even for someone who doesn't really care about the business, right? You're like, hey, it's just my job. I'm just the person down here. I do this thing. But that's still cool, right? They still want to enjoy their job. And they went into technology for a reason. And so if they can actually enjoy it and continue to learn their skills in an industry where nearly 90% of all of your experience and your knowledge is going to be on the job as you go, self-taught, because that's the way technology is, that's helping the people as well. It's helping individuals. So it's easier to buy into something that is eventually going to not just benefit the business and IT, but it's going to benefit you personally in your career.
Totally get that. And I hear what you're saying around the laborious chore. I really do get that. And I'm probably one of the worst people when it comes to, oh, like stuff the instructions. I'm just going to do the thing. And then what happens? Something stuffs up. Then I've got to go back to the instructions. So then what sort of advice then would you have for people? Because I get it, right? We're humans. No one wants to sit there. We don't want to, you know, answer all these questions. It's arduous. And like I said, it is laborious. How can you incentivize people to say, okay, look, I get we want to jump the gun, we want to implement this, we want to talk about solutions, but part of the framework, our process, we need to answer these questions to make sure that we don't stuff something up and then have to go back and retrofit it, which could be A, difficult, and B, impossible.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to sit down and have a discussion, draw on a whiteboard and answer questions than it is to spend, 6 months of your life implementing something that ends up being wrong and then watching it get ripped out. And tell me the application you want me to write before I put down any code, right? I mean, that's right, scope creep, that kind of like, the jokes, right, with developers, right? They hate it when someone comes in and then changes the requirements at the last moment. Well, that's what you're doing. You're saying you're just going to jump in and then, hey, we're going to figure out that's the wrong thing and you're going to have to like start all over. And nobody wants to do this. It's, wait a little bit, get the right answers, then jump in. It'll be so much easier and rewarding and nobody's going to come up and stop you at the 11th hour.
Yeah, I get that. And I understand that. And I think this is a struggle across the board. But some of the other struggles that you mentioned in the book, that companies do find it difficult with digital transformation. Now, we sort of listed a few of the reasonings, but is there anything else that you'd like to sort of attribute to the main struggles to digital transformation within a business?
Well, I think the big one is that, right, people hear digital transformation and they immediately think, oh, new cool application, new website, it's going to be glitzy and it's going to have all of these snazzy things and it will be awesome and customers are going to love us. And then what gets ignored is everything that has to support that. Well, but the billing system wasn't updated, so we actually have to do this by hand. I've had this happen, right, where a fully, almost fully digital process was interrupted by the need to fill out a form and mail it to a city, 200 miles away and wait for a response. Now that's not a digital experience. Yeah, the website was great. The app was working really well until it got interrupted by a piece of the business and IT that didn't get modernized, right? That legal function just didn't get modernized because nobody wanted to do it. It just got overlooked. So I think the thing is, if the CIO says, look, we need to also modernize this thing in this order to make sure that you can actually deliver the digital service that you want to, people need to listen, right? The CIO is the expert about the technology, right? The business leaders are the experts about the business, and they need to have those conversations. And I don't think they do enough because immediately we start blaming it's IT's fault again. But you can't build an end-to-end digital service unless all of the pieces are actually modernized and digitized to support it. So I think that's the one big piece of advice is, if you're trying to do that, remember that. You if you stop in the middle, you're going to have a pretty poor experience no matter how good it looks or how fast it performs.
So you mentioned that we're not having these conversations enough. Why do you think that's the case, though? Is it a time commitment? Is it I can be bothered? It's all too hard. Like, what is it specifically?
I think that until like the last few months, and that we haven't, there just hasn't been any urgency to have those discussions. Well, we're doing okay, right? It's moving along, and it always takes some sort of, right, almost catastrophic event, right, to kick us in our complacency and get us talking about why did this fail and how are we going to fix it? And we see that in some of the outages and the problems in the last like 6 months that companies have had. And it always comes down to something that wasn't quite modernized yet because roadmap or prioritization or changes. And that's the impetus to start having those conversations. Because until now, it's just been get online because COVID, right? Now that's over for the most part. And people are starting to go, well, you know, what's next? They see outages, we start figuring it out.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I know that there's no easy answer to these things, but that's why I have the show. That's why I interview people like yourself to understand your thoughts, hear your experiences, and hear some of your insights that perhaps people can take away. I mean, at a really high level, though, what would be maybe some of your recommendations, or is there any examples that you can give to help organizations better adapt digital transformation? Takeaways, tangible actions that people can take after this interview.
Wow. You know, one, I should say, like, read the book. That's why we wrote it, so that they could, you know, read the entire like logic in there and go, okay, I agree or not, as the case may be. But I mean, really start digging into what does it mean, right? One, you know, why is that architecture so important? And two, what is it missing? And three, what are the changes that need to be made in the domains that exist, right? So what's out there now? What do I need to change? What do I need to add? And then you can start having the conversation, how do we go about doing that? It's really understanding your own architecture and business and trying to figure out what do you need to do? What are you missing?
Yeah, I think that those are really great starting points. And I think that it's about getting people on the show like yourself to provide your experience and your insights for people to maybe think differently and to be challenged and for them to say, oh, hey, like Laurie, you said this thing. Maybe I need to pay more attention to that. So in terms of any sort of closing comments or final thoughts, is there anything that you'd love to leave our audience with today, Laurie?
I guess I would say that, you know, when you look at the task in front of you, it may look Sisyphean, but it's not. It's just Herculean, right? It's a big task, but it can be done. And if everybody actually pulls together and wants to make it happen, that they can, right? It's more, you just got to get everybody on board and then go in the right direction. And that there's a lot of choices that need to be made. And there's not necessarily a right or a wrong answer, right? As some people would say, you know, is open source, right, a good strategy for helping to modernize? Well, the answer is yes and no. How are you going to use it? For what? Do you have the resources, right? It's not a matter of telling you which technologies you should adopt or how you should put them to use, just getting into doing the digital transformation, as it were. And I think that's important, is getting everybody on board first, and then you can move together.
I think that's excellent advice. And I think getting people on board together is not an easy task. So I really appreciate your time, Laurie, for coming on the show. It's wonderful to hear a little bit more about your insights and your experience, but also, you know, you've got a very personable personality, and I really appreciate you taking the time out today to chat with me.
Well, and thank you again for having me. And I really enjoyed having a conversation with you and hearing about your experience in LA. And that was awesome. So thank you. You're great. I loved it. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope that you found today's episode useful and you took away a few key points. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to get our latest episodes.
This podcast is brought to you by Mercsec, the specialists in security, search, and recruitment solutions. Visit mercsec.com to connect today.
If you'd like to find out how KBI can help grow your cyber business, then please head over to kbi.digital.
This podcast was brought to you by KBI.media, the voice of cyber.